I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 542. How do they make scary scarier?
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious, and you don't sound good.
I'm sick as hell.
It's like, I'm sick. Ninja Sister.
I know, right? It sounds like I'm drunk, but I'm not.
No,
I'm
just sick.
Oh my God, but...
Sick and tired of being sick and tired.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, but you know what? I don't have a fever anymore, so we're going to talk about games and anime, bruh.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because...
That's what we do here.
I've had a fever, really high fever, all week long.
You know, fevers would kill babies. Like...
Truth.
And small dogs, and even medium dogs.
That's why I'm a fucking Amazon. I'm small, but I'm mighty. Because not a lot of people can, like, bounce back from a fever of 105.
Most people... And be alive.
Right. And be recording a podcast.
They want you at the hospital, like, 2 days ago.
Yeah, I was at 103. I remember. No, I don't remember 103. Really, I don't remember any time that was above 102. 102 is like right around where I start losing
everything. Well,
that's
when your brain starts melting and like you're pretty close to like...
I didn't put the shit on simmer. I'm not going to lie. I put it on low and then I forgot and accidentally hit high. So we went from 102 to 105. I did the thing... I went to the hospital, IV, you know, I got all the fluids, big bags of fluids, oh Lord Jesus. I let them take all the blood, mostly because I was kind of, sort of, unconscious, so.
Like, once I'm upside down, you can take as many vials as you need that don't kill me.
Upside for me.
Whatever you gotta do to it.
I hate needles, I feel anything.
Nah, because you were passed the fuck out.
I was passed the fuck out. So they took blood out of one side, put an IV in the other.
I knew something
ran
was
a
up
bunch of panels.
Like, we did our show last week, and I was like, all right, she's not back here on the East Coast till Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'll probably hear from her on Tuesday once she lands, because, like, we're usually really good about, like, hey, I'm back now. Like,
yeah, I didn't die in a plane crash.
Right. So, like, I'm checking Facebook, and I'm like, she said she was at LAX, but I haven't seen the, hey guys, I'm in bot, like, I didn't see the, I'm back, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
Up. I'll let her sleep for a day, and if I don't hear from her, then I will definitely text to see what the deal is, and sure enough, I didn't hear from you, so I was like, all right, so something must be up, she must not be feeling good, let me see what the deal is, and literally, I think I text you, I'm like, you alive? Like, I was supposed to be like, no, I'm dead.
I know.
I'm expecting you to be like, no. And then you're like, yeah, sort of. And I'm like,
if I had been on my game, I would have said no.
Right. But like, nah. My husband does that to me all the time. Like, I hear a big bang. Are you alive? No, I have just died. Well, damn.
I died of dysentery.
let me start getting my inheritance. I mean, my insurance money. Anyway.
Yeah, you're dead. You don't get inheritance.
No.
But anyway, so... Luckily enough for you guys, I've made it. It's taken, 5 days. But I have made it to the point where I am sub 100.
Yay.
I've been sub 100 for 24 hours now.
Good.
Double fucking yay. So I was like, no, I'm not going to do a clip show. These guys have heard me cough before. They've heard Panda cough before. I'm a champion.
I mean, I think they've heard a lot of our bodily fluids.
They've heard most
our burps,
of
some sneezes, my geese honk, nose blow. That's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Probably heard some
I belched.
Like burped, I had phlegm
hacks.
Back up.
Oh yeah,
sneezed. There's probably been a fart or two that we said were burps, but weren't because we're human and we excrete gas.
You know, things happen. Okay.
Don't
nobody on
me.
This podcast is an Android.
Or
and nobody on this
we?
Podcast has an Android. So
True that.
So anyway,
we're not hating on you Android lovers, but you might need to think about your choices.
Just you know, think about your life choices.
Hit up a park, sit on a hill, look at your Android device and go, "Why?" And have that internal conversation. You may surprise yourself.
Here's what I'm going to say. The devices that Android runs on aren't bad. But any operating system that just is mad-ass open to malware, that has your personal information on it, and let's be real, for anybody that's carrying a smartphone, your life, you might want to think about it. It's like not carrying a chip card today. Like, why? Why wouldn't you do the extra security?
You know,
that's all I'm saying.
It's really funny
that
you bring that up, that, you know, our phones are our lives. Because, I mean, this is not the first time I think we've made that type of statement on our show. But
my life is on my phone. My credit card, my debit card, all my contact information. I don't know anybody's phone number without my phone.
I know my old house number because, I mean, that was just ingrained into my skull.
Me too, but...
but that's about it. Like, if you asked me what my aunt's number was, I'd be like, I don't know it.
I don't know your phone number.
I don't call her. But anyway.
I mean, I call you by going, well, I can't say it right now because my phone's listening. But I asked Siri to call sis, and then
she just calls me.
And then she calls you.
Right. So, but no, I'm glad that you brought that up because the other night I was passed out on my couch, which is that's my go-to spot. Like, if I don't have laundry to do, like, I'm just on my couch, which you've been on our couch. It's comfy as fuck.
Yeah,
like,
it's a damn comfy couch.
You could just live on this couch, which is essentially what I do when I'm not working.
It's a maxing and relaxing couch.
And my husband and I had played a game of, you know, what movies had we wanted to watch in a long time. And I was like, I want to watch Ratatouille. So, like, we watch Ratatouille. And then it's like, well, I want to watch Terminator Genesis. And I was like, good night. Because I don't need to watch that.
Genesis,
he wanted to see Genesis, so like I fall asleep.
Like I can understand three, but Genesis,
right? So I was like, I'm not really into it, so like I'll just snuggle on you can watch it and what,
right?
Like I know Khaleesi's in it, but like I don't need to watch that. And sure enough, like, I fall asleep, and I wake up during, like, the most interesting part in the movie. So I was like, what the fuck's going on? Like, they went back into the past, but they actually need to go into the future, and they need... So they went back to 87, and then they're like, but we gotta go back to, like, 97, which is when shit happens. But then this dude, the guy who, like, gets... Connor pregnant or whatever, was like, no, we actually gotta go to 2017. And she's all like, what? And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, he's like, the real Skynet actually doesn't exactly happen until Genesis happens, and Genesis happens in 2017, so we gotta go there. And they're like, but if John Connor got killed in like 97 in this bad timeline, then he wouldn't be in 2017. But they get there and then he's there and then they're like, fuck, and like tables are flipping and like nothing makes any GD sense. And I'm just like, so what's Genesis? And of course, like everyone's like looking at their phone and it's like, it's this app that will connect all of your devices. And I'm like, shit, we're living in that right now in 2017. It's like Genesis is happening. All my shit in Apple and Genesis, Adam and Eve, like my mind went and I'm like,
oh my
shit.
God. Like, were you high?
No. But I was
are
like,
are you sure?
Shit, we in 2017 right now. All my Apple devices are like connected. Like Apple is Genesis. And my husband's like, go back to fucking sleep. And I'm like, no, now I'm invested. Now I need to know what's going on. Like
Apple is like, not Genesis.
Like, I lost my, like, mind opened up for, like, a second. I saw the edges of the horizon, and they were, like, rosy brown, which is not a color.
And that's how you know you didn't actually see the edges for forever, because everybody knows when you see the edges of forever, it's a black obelisk. So didn't you watch 2001?
No. I still haven't seen that.
Oh, shoot yourself.
Go kill yourself, Amanda.
Sorry. I don't mean to say that. That's yes, not what
you.
I...
You meant that. But anyway. But no, like that...
I didn't want to say it.
But literally the fact... And I realize, like... I'm like, wow, I'm like, we are really kind of connected to these phones. Like, before we had to rely on memory, but now we don't. We can rely on computer memory.
You just figured that out.
Well, like... I knew
as
before.
Much as you fucking look at your phone.
Oh, yeah, I know. Like, my husband's come at me.
You
like,
just
you know,
figured
there,
it out.
We have conversations, and then you pull out your phone. I'm like, you do it all the time. He goes, you do it, like, three times more. You're more likely to do it than me. And I'm like, shit, you're right.
Yeah, you do.
Or I'm like, shit, let me put down my phone. You're right, babe. So, like, but, and it's so harrowing, because, like, when we were on our honeymoon, like, I left my phone in our room.
Bullshit.
Safe. No, I did. I only turned it on early in the morning before we left the hotel, and then I turned it back on when we got back to the hotel and we were winding down and we weren't going to go anywhere else. That was it. And, like, I actually liked the fact that I wasn't so tied to my phone. I was going to let it happen.
I wish I had experienced that, because I have not experienced a time since you've had an iPhone.
I know.
That you have not just been. Like, it's so funny for me when I think of, you know, where we've come from mobile phone and mobile technology. You know, there's the rumors about the new Apple phone that will be announced this fall, because it's the big anniversary of the iPhone. So everybody's throwing out conjecture about what iPhone 8 is going to be and look like.
It's going to be a Hot Pocket, guys. It's going to be a brown sugar Hot Pocket.
It's not going to be a Hot Pocket.
And it's going to have no jacks in it.
Will you stop talking about Hot Pockets? Because I'm already
hungry.
It's going
to be a Pop-Tart, guys. It's going to be a brown sugar frosted Pop-Tart. Now it's
you know that's my favorite.
They're my favorite.
God damn it.
Nah. They're going to be a series of fruit roll-ups with a touchscreen.
Will you hush it?
They're going to be paper thin. Like, they're going to be as thin as, like, a fruit roll-up. With a touchscreen, it will have that non-pressable button, so you have to put your fingerprint in it. It might also ask to take a blood sample. We're going to get straight up Gattaca in this shit.
Yo, like, Gattaca's a dope movie.
Man, I love me some Gattaca.
Gattaca's dope. All
right, you got to be in the right headset for Gattaca, though. Like,
yeah,
you be like,
yeah.
On a Tuesday, going to watch Gattaca. No.
You got to be curled up on the couch. You got to have a nice glass of wine. Maybe some assorted cheeses.
You may want to listen to Childish Gambino's Red Bones, Stay Woke, and then go into Gattaca.
That's a good way to go in there.
Stay woke.
That's a good way to go into it. Anyway.
We talk about music and stay in.
No, I'm
right
going
now.
Back to the phone, actually, because there's been a lot of conjecture about it, and I've looked at all the stuff that people have been putting out there. I stay on Mac Rumors and Apple Insider pretty much weekly, because I like to see where people try to take their inferences and how close they actually get to real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, Apple has already put out a phone that physically is the same size as the Samsung edge-to-edge screen phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 7 Plus, 6 Plus is just as tall and just as wide.
Oh, I'm fucking pissed about you 7S's with your portrait mode. That should not just be on one phone.
Don't be hating.
I'm sorry. It's a fucking feature that can get updated. Granted, the phone I have is your
no.
Hand-me-down 6. I want portrait mode.
Your
phone
can't handle it. It's not a feature upgrade. It's actually hardware that makes it.
I don't believe that shit. I'm sorry.
It's not just software.
I don't. If I smashed, not that I'm going to smash anybody's
you better iPhone not.
7, but it, unless I broke that phone and literally I saw like a little piece of chip that said portrait
you
mode,
you
like
hide
a chip or whatever it is, then I won't believe it. It's an
you
update.
Don't have to
it
break
is software.
The phone.
Put that shit in my phone because I want to blur out everyone but my face.
It
I
is
want
not
it.
Software.
And my husband will not buy me an iPhone 7S because, one, he really wants me off of Apple products. So if I'm like, babe, I want a new phone, he'll be like, you got to come over. He has an Android. But I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't.
No, don't.
I don't.
Don't.
Granted, you will if I wait long enough, you'll get an
miserable.
8 and then you'll give me your 7. So, like, I could wait.
I mean, really, that's all you have to do because...
Well, I mean, no, I'd have to wait further than that because it seems like I don't get your hand-me-down until the 2s. Because I had my 3 forever.
Well, because that 6 was rock solid. And
right.
So that's why I didn't get a 6S.
So then I have to wait for you to get the 9 before
nope.
You'll give me your 7.
That depends on what the 8 is. Because I've now opted into the
that
phone every
mode
year
is
plan.
So fucking tight. On it.
See, I don't even take photos like that, so
man,
I have
I do,
portable.
Though. So, see, you're not
I,
even using
I know.
The technology.
That's because you selfie way more than I do.
Fuck yeah, I do. I ain't ashamed of that shit.
Careful, sis. Your Narcissa is showing.
Mm-mm, nope. It's just my pride. It's not narcissism. I'm just proud of myself. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Be proud. I'm black and proud.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. I
did not mean to start
that.
Can I please? Can
I'm
I?
Sorry,
I know
I'm
you.
So...
Can I please talk about this phone?
Yes.
I've been trying to get to the details for like
okay,
ever.
Okay, all right. I'm shutting up.
Okay, but we will talk about Black Spider-Man, okay?
Okay.
I promise. And you're welcome.
Yeah, you totally.
Okay. Now, okay. Here's the deal. The rumors about iPhone 8 is that one, similar to... the Samsung devices, because where a lot of people bitch and moan about Apple device versus Samsung is that the Apple device has a big-ass bezel. And they've been working to make the bezel smaller and smaller from phone to phone, but still, you got a big bezel, top and bottom. Whereas the Samsung people will throw out their phone and be like, look, the whole thing is a screen, and it goes edge to edge. So... one of the leading rumors and one of the leading mock-ups of what the phone could look like show that it's going to be an edge-to-edge phone. I think that this is correct. I think, one, it's a way to shut people up about that difference between Samsung and Apple. Of that, yeah, your device is this big, but your screen is only this big. And it will be a Retina display. So it will have as good, if not better-looking optics when you're looking at the screen to the Samsung phones. Because that's really the only place that they don't compete very well. Like, that's the one thing where I, like, look at a Galaxy, you know, S whatever, one of the ones that doesn't blow up. And I'm like, yeah, having a screen that goes that long would be nice. Because sometimes I do dislike my bezel. But that's one of the places where I would, like, look at a Samsung, you know, Galaxy, one of the ones that doesn't blow up, 8. We'll go with that. That sounds good. I'd be like, yeah, I like... the idea of having a very large screen, you know, when you have a very large phone, because like I'm hooked on the pluses, I can't go back to a smaller phone. I really
but you
like
have
the larger
small
size.
Hands, though,
because I can double tap and bring everything down to my thumb. Everything's close within my thumb range, so it's no different than the smaller phone in my hand.
Okay.
But it's actually easier for me to type and hit the keys that I want to on the larger phone than on the smaller phone. That I like. I think the additional thing. Is that you're probably going to have, you know, you already have handoff on the Apple device. If you're not familiar with handoff, what that does is, for certain apps, the ones that work on your phone and work on your computer, like Safari, FaceTime, your calls, Pages, Keynote, Numbers, you can start something, looking at a web page, working on a document, whatever, on one device. That could be your tablet, that could be your phone, that could be your computer. And when you turn on any of your other devices, your phone, tablet, whatever, you'll get a notification that you can pick up that process, document, whatever, on that device. I use this a lot for web browsing because a lot of times I'll be watching an anime or I'll be watching a video or just researching something, and I'll start it on my phone because that's what's near me. And then I'll want to dig down deep because either the video player doesn't work on my phone, or the way that a site is organized, it's really better to, it's geared toward and was designed for a desktop, so it doesn't quite work right on my phone. And rather than having to, which I used to do in the old days before handoff, copy the link, email it to myself, open up my laptop, open up my email, find the email, click the link, bring it up. With handoff, as soon as I open up my laptop, it gives me an extra Safari icon with my phone on it and lets me know that, oh, it recognizes that I was looking at a page in Safari. And if I click on that icon, it'll immediately open up my Safari on the desktop to that exact link. It makes the work process so much more seamless because it's just handed off between all of them. And it doesn't matter if I do it on my tablet or on my phone, my desktop, it just works. And I think that you're going to see more things be able to take advantage of handoff. I think that you will see other apps like Office and things like that be able to take advantage of it. And those are kind of the last things I think that people who are very much in the vein of anything but Apple will jump ship for, because all their stuff will just work. You know, I've looked at Android, and to bring my stuff over and have things work the way that they work on my iPhone just is not going to happen, because most of my stuff is in Pages, Keynote, Numbers. There's no equivalent for those things that run. I would have to convert everything out to CSV and to text file or to Word file to bring them into Google Docs. And frankly, I don't like Google Docs because Google gets to look at all your shit and sift through all your shit that you put in Google Docs. So no thank you. I will pass on that. But I think other features that you'll see on the phone, obviously you'll see a better camera. You know, with flash storage getting to be what it is, as far as, you know, size, I think that, you know, you're about to see a terabyte phone.
Oh my God.
I mean, flash storage is there and it's affordable now. You're basically to the point on flash storage where you can pay $1 a gig. I think, you know, when you start looking at where the iPads are and they're at 512 for a big anniversary phone, but I think you're going to definitely get a 512, which, you know, don't suck.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's really going to be it, and you're going to have better cameras in them. I think that, you know, Apple is really, really trying to get to the point where people can do more content creator type things for mobile devices without having to carry around a lot of gear. If there are enough features in the 8 that are cool, and for me, it's really going to come down to camera and the size of the screen. If it comes out with a screen that goes edge to edge and does the fingerprint recognition stuff, which I know it will, because they love that shit, and it has a better camera, I will get an 8. And when I get an 8, that means you get a new phone.
See? And then I get my portrait mode, and then I'll be all set.
And then you'll be happy. But yeah, just really quickly with the Apple announcements, because I don't think that we focused on it, because I think I was just so focused on my LA trip and like E3. But Apple made a bunch of announcements, and I know that you're working on saving up for a new computer. You should probably take a look at the lineup right now, because I know you like your laptop.
I mean,
I know you like to be mobile and all, but they announced some really fucking powerful iMacs and dropped the price range.
Yeah, but like, if really I got powerful. A desktop, then, you know, doing any con coverage would be kind of hard to do.
You have an iPad.
I have an iPad mini from, like, 5 years ago.
Only thing you're doing at a con is writing.
I know, but not on an iPad. Not on no little baby iPad.
Oh, little baby iPad.
It's a
you
mini.
You know, I remember when I gave you that iPad.
I love it. It's mini, and it does what I needed to do, but, like, let me take out my iPad mini right quick. Ah!
And it's got a keyboard.
Yeah. I know.
Look, all I'm saying is, I'll be honest with you. The laptop that I have, I love the laptop that I have, but I only have it because it was part of my tuition for going to school. If I was buying a system right now, which I'm not going to because the machine I have is ridiculous. My production machine, which is an iMac. But if I was going to buy a machine now, today, I would absolutely, especially knowing the content creation stuff that I want to do, I will be getting an iMac Pro. Because that's a thing now. And it's space gray. So, you know, you have Mac Pro. You know, that round cylinder, you know, yes. 2001 space looking thing. So they made an iMac Pro now. So you have your regular iMacs, and then you have your iMac Pro. And your iMac Pro is really for your, like, I'm making feature films. Or I'm doing animation. Type person. It's a beast of a machine. And you can equip it. It can fit it several different ways from Sunday. And spend like $7,000. Or you can get a 27-inch iMac with a ridiculous screen for $12.99. It's all the same. It's all the same. You know. I mean, I could definitely see, you know, just getting a new 13-inch MacBook Air.
Yeah, that would be, it'd be nice.
That's also $12.99.
I mean, my computer same works price now, as the iMac. But like, the minute I take my computer off of the charge cable, like...
Yeah, that's just battery. That's just battery decay. My which happens with...
Dying.
Which is what happens with lithium batteries. They decay. Well, you're only going to get... They decay. That's what happens.
Well, I don't like it.
Nobody does. But that's how they work. Okay? So, I would say, if I were you... I would take a look at refurbished machines. I would take a look at the new lineup of machines. And once again, figure out what it is that you really want to be able to do with a machine to determine whether or not you need a MacBook Air, a MacBook, or an iMac, and just a new iPad. Because you don't have to get a beefy iPad. You just want to get a bigger iPad that you can slap a keyboard on.
Anyway.
Because, like, well, I did PAX East.
It's not something I... It's not even really something I can entertain putting money aside for right now.
Because you just finished wedding. But what I'm saying is you need to be smart about, and this is for all people, when you're going into making a computer purchase, you need to be smart about what it is that you really want to do today, what you think you want to do a few years from now. Because the machine that you're buying today needs to be able to do that stuff that you want to do a few years from now with ease. Otherwise, you'll be kicking yourself in 3 years. Because new technology is going to come out every year. That's how companies make money. So your shit's going to be obsolete. It's like buying a car. The moment you take it off the lot, the shit starts losing its value. Same thing with a computer. The moment you get it home, they're already working on the bigger, badder beat version of it. Your shit's going to be obsolete. But if you build a machine strong enough to hold you for 3 to 4 years, then you won't be salty.
I mean, unless you want to be salty, like if that's the flavor you prefer.
But that's your personal choice.
I mean, I like salt and I like cheese.
Okay, it's your personal choice. Who doesn't like to wrap a little bit of the cheese in the prosciutto, okay?
Oh, hell yeah, with some pesto on it.
All right, but, you know, you got vegetarians out there, vegans. They don't like that shit.
Well, I mean, they like cheese, and they like the
vegans pesto. Don't.
Oh, that's vegans right. Vegans
don't like cheese.
I'm sorry. Nope, I have no comments for that. You live your life.
Right. Right. Your choices are your choices, man. I'm just saying.
Some people don't like that shit. All of that and enjoy that experience.
and that's kind of like how me. I come down. And that's where I land on, like, Android. I'm just like, I'm like vegan to it. Shit's not for me.
Not for you. Not right. For you.
But shit that is for me, dovetailing off of E3 a little bit, because, you know, I kind of went all over the place.
You were bouncing week. Up and down like a yo-yo over
Look,
in LA.
It was the E3 this year was a great year for games.
Okay.
Okay, it's just like everywhere you looked, it was games, 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 games. Okay, not DLC, not... Here's just a tech demo. It's like, literally, here, put your butt here and play this. Here, play this. Now you can play this. Okay, over here you can play this. Like, these are all the things you can play. That's one of the things that was really nice that I noticed this year at E3 is that there were fewer theater presentations and theater demos and a shit ton of hands-on.
Well, maybe that's because the last year there wasn't that much of, There wasn't a lot of hands-on, and people definitely noticed the difference in who they were marketing too?
I think it's a combination of a couple of things. You know, you got to remember how long dev cycles are. They're long. Okay. They used to be 3 to 4 years. Now they're more like 4 to 5 years.
I think it actually depends on the dev house, because there are some game companies that don't produce a game, or it takes them 5 to 7 before they've even announced anything. And then with delays and stuff, we might not get it for like another 2 years after the announcement.
I don't count delays. Not that we're naming names or anybody, but you know, your core dev cycle, you know, has shifted, has become longer. And I think that it's more of a child of games taking longer and companies realizing, you know what? If we announce shit way too early, the hype gets out of control. And by the time we bring it to market, we can't live up to everything that we fucking hype. No Man's Sky. Not that we're naming names.
Rockstar.
Right?
Right.
So I think it's just a culmination of you had a bunch of dev cycles all completing at the same time. Crackdown completed at the same time as fucking Agents of Mayhem. How those are not the same game, I don't really know. Because they are the same game. Right. One's just made by Volition.
Hey, I ain't mad at Volition. I ain't mad.
I'm not mad at Volition either. I'm just like, yo, Volition, Crackdown already existed. Can you please give me another Saints Row instead?
Well, I mean, after...
And don't get me wrong, Agents of Mayhem is fun. But I probably made the mistake of playing it after I played Crackdown.
Probably. That sounds like a foul.
It was a technical foul. Because I played Crackdown 3. And Agents of Mayhem.
I mean, I don't know how Volition, like, I don't know how Volition would do another.
It's purple. Crackdown 3. Crackdown 3 is blue. Agents of Mayhem is purple.
But I don't know how they would do another Saints Row. Because, I mean, humanity has been, you know, obliterated outside of the.
But remember. Yes, the planet was messed up, but they were stealing humans first. And we got control of Zorg's ship.
I know, but I mean, and then you had the
whole so we Gat could re. Hell.
So we've had.
Well, I didn't play Gat Out of Hell.
It's actually not. Play... It's not terrible. You'll find things that are enjoyable about it. I mean, I liked the idea of flying, though the flying mechanic I felt was a little unnatural.
See, I never did the thing where, you know, because Saints Row 4 came out just as like the Xbox One was coming out, and they were like, "Oh, if you bought Saints Row 4, you can play it on your Xbox One, too, and you just got to get a code, and you had to do a thing, and then you could download the Xbox One version at no additional cost." And I never did that, so the last time I played Saints Row 4, legit, was on my 360. So that's why I didn't play Gat Out of Hell, because I was like, I'm not going to rebuy it, and I'm sure that I'm, like, over the time to get the code now, just to play it for free.
Right.
But you could say that the Saints took Zorg's ship and the humans that they had and repopulated another planet. And literally, it's Saints Planet.
Oh, God. I don't...
Okay. Where... Because, I mean, you were the president before the aliens invaded. So you go and you found a new colony. You get everybody settled. You become the first face on the new Saints Moore, Rushmore thing. You're not the president anymore. You're just trying to chill and relax, and some upstarts try to upset the apple cart on the new planet, and you come out of retirement with, you know, a getting too old for this shit kind of line, but really you're not, and mayhem ensues on Saints Planet. Because then you could bring in other aliens.
Yeah, that's
just true. For the fun of it.
Yeah, but then you get kind of Mass Effect-y, though.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing, except how do you take something that's kind of established like that and then try to put your own spin on it, though?
Saints Row is literally Grand Theft Auto just spun real, real dumb. So they've already successfully done it.
I don't know. I don't know if I would subscribe to it, in all honesty.
I bet if you saw it, because remember, this is Volition we're talking about.
I love me Melissa.
They can, okay, they can write a funny fucking situation into anything. I mean, don't get me wrong. Agents of Mayhem is fun, and it's funny. But if I got to pick between the two, I'm going to go with Crackdown 3. Because that's a known quantity to me. And also Terry fucking Crews.
Terry Crews.
Terry fucking Crews.
All right.
Terry fucking Crews. Terry fucking Crews. All right, anyway. So, there were a couple games that I got to spend time with, and I didn't really get to talk about them because I was too much fanboying over games. Also games. And then, games, by the way. Did you see the games? Because they were games. So, the first one that I want to talk about, because I didn't really get to go in depth about the game, was Mario Rabbids game. It's kind of glossed over it.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a audience specific for that game.
Are you it?
I'm not it. And you know I love platformers.
I know you do.
I fucking hurt them. Like, real hard. Because it's platformers for me are games that I can pick up and put down at any point in time. And with my work schedule, that's what I need. As much as I really want to play Far Cry 5, it just, the co-op, the fact that you can play Far Cry 5, the whole game co-op, marvels my brain. Because I would love to run through that game with you. I think you and I would have a blast running through Far Cry 5. That's a big time.
I haven't played a Far... Like, Far Cry was far more your thing than mine. I don't think I actually played a Far Cry. So I don't know if that would be the best exposure point for me to come in completely blank.
Here's the thing. I'm going to correct you on that. Because you did play a Far Cry. You played 3. Because you helped me through 3.
Yeah, but I didn't play through. Like, I've never played a Far Cry from beginning to end.
I haven't finished Far Cry 3. I didn't play 4. I gave away Primal. Because Primal just... Out of the whole series, Primal is the least Far Cry game.
Which you think is really funny, because in my mind, like, I giggle when you say that. It's like, oh, it's really... It's like, you do realize that in all the other situations, you were, like, from civilization, and you had to go back to this primitive state of existence, yet in Far Cry Primal, you're at that primitive state, developing upwards, so you'd think that you'd already kind of established the mindset that you'd already have to go out into the world and be doing these things instead of having to come against that moral compass of, oh god, I have to kill this animal if I want to live, type of mentality. And, like, I find it funny that people, like, were so... I don't want to say opposed to it, but they had such an adverse reaction to the premise, even though that was kind of the premise.
It's not that piece of the premise. It's not the premise that people are like, oh, this is the least Far Cry game. It's the least Far Cry game because of the way in which it's organized.
Because, I mean, a lot of people are bitching about the new installment being out in Missouri and, like, kind of targeting a particular subset of people.
Yeah, and the people who are bitching about that are probably in that subset of people.
Right.
So I really don't have any time for that. I love that Yubi had balls, because it takes balls, to craft this story. Because, again, dev cycles being what they are, they started much earlier than when elections happened in the U.S. working on this game. Okay? So they were already working on that path. So it just is happenstance that situation in the U.S. with our government and who's in charge is the way it is. And that you have this resurgence of racial imbalance as the forefront of conversation and what's going on in the country, and classism at the forefront of what's going on in the country, and sexism, and, you know, just all kinds of abuses of civil rights.
All the isms.
Just pick an ism, it's happening. But the structure has always been I shouldn't say always. The common structure in the franchise has always been single bad guy, single named character that you play, struggling against bad guy in crazy primal setting, kill for success. And primal was a little bit different. Primal was more about crafting, getting animal companions to support you, which was like, are you a wolf whisperer? What's going on here?
You're Beastmaster.
It was. And it was all stuff that was, you know, set to fit this primal stage, but it was a very different approach to Far Cry than anything that had come before. Like, you went from Baj.
Yeah.
In 3 and Pagan Min. Pagan Min was a fucked up bad guy. Okay. But also kind of dope as a bad guy. Real charismatic, all that kind of stuff.
Like, that's kind of the point. He's got right. charismatic enough to draw you in so that when he does the tilt on you, you're like, I'll just go with it because now I know you're also scary, but I'm also right. kind of into it.
Right. And then you go from Pagan Min to Primal. Your brain, if you're a fan of the franchise, is like, brah, 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 brah. It's kind of like in Assassins when you made the switch from being Ezio to Connor.
Okay.
Okay? The premise and the core is the same, but it's not the same.
It's not quite right. I don't want to say right or wrong, but just...
No, it's a not... off. Right. And that's the thing with Primal. If you go through the lineup of Far Cry, it just... One of these things is not like the other. And 5... I feel like it's a return to picking up the best pieces of, like, 3 and 4 and then building on them. You know, being able to have the guns for hire, animals for hire.
Let me hire this elephant right quick.
Well, in this case, it looks like you'll be able to, you know, somewhat tame and work with wolves, bears, which will be really helpful in, you know, thinning out a herd of zealots.
Right, yeah.
Okay, but you'll have guns for hire, animals for hire, and friends for hire. So, like, you can recruit your friends to come into your game, split loots and all that kind of stuff. That makes for a very interesting ecosystem in the game. And then the fact that you can actually run the whole story co-op, for me, makes it even better. You know, I enjoy Gears the most, Gears 4 especially, but I enjoy Gears of War the most playing the campaign co-op. I like talking with my friends and getting through a mission. I think that's one of the reasons why I like The Division so much. It's because more times than not, I was playing it co-op. And so I was playing with friends and we were figuring out the situation and going through this experience together. And that always makes a game more interesting to me. And we ended up on Far Cry 5 while I was trying to talk about the Mario Rabbids game. And I think ultimately for me where I ended up, because I played the game a couple of times on the show floor, it was like the easiest thing to get into at the Nintendo booth because there was no playing the Mario Galaxy, his day trip to Brooklyn game. Those lines were ridiculous. The little hat swag that they gave away, because, you know, Mario throws his hat in that shit, because his hat is sentient now.
I know, his hat's got eyes now. Better get Metroid on this and go boop boop. You think I'm joking. I'm sorry. The minute I saw the eyes, I'm like, he's been being controlled the whole time. Because now you can throw that hat onto things and then you possess the thing. He's like a magical warlord all of a sudden. Though, I have an interesting thought about this Mario. Because, I mean, some people have been talking about how we're actually going to see, I think her name was Pauline, the original.
Yes.
And I've been watching a lot of freaking game theories because I'm kind of about theories now. I don't want to do the research. I just want to hear about them and see which one resonates with me the most, and then I stick to it. But I was listening or watching one of these game theories where they were talking about how the Mario from Jumpman is not the Mario that we know. That's actually Mario's dad, and Pauline is Mario's mom, which kind of makes sense in the timeline, especially when you start...
Wait, I'm sorry, say that again?
Yeah, so Jumpman, from the original Jumpman game, who's trying to save Pauline from Kong, from the monkey, that is actually the Mario from 1, 2, and 3's dad. So that Jumpman and Pauline are the parents of Mario and Luigi, because age-wise, it couldn't be the same guy digging Peach and potentially Daisy, depending on which Mario timeline you're, like, really into.
There's a Mario timeline when Mario is into Daisy? I thought Luigi was into Daisy.
No. So if you look at
all... Why does Mario get all the bitches?
Here's the thing. Mario doesn't really get all the bitches. Because in the theory that I think I watched all the videos in it, and I was like, you know, some of this, I think, holds a lot more water than Nintendo wants to give up. But, so Rosalina, our, like, galaxy lady.
I love Rosalina.
You know, hints at the fact that, you know, Peach is her mom. So that's kind of a given. But she never exactly says who her dad is. And if you really look at it, and I mean, I feel like it's not a super big stretch, but what if, and this is just what if, Mario and Peach weren't her parents, and in fact it was Peach and Luigi?
Yeah, I've heard the Peach, and I forget who it was.
Because what they tend to say is, if you look at all of the games... Eventually, Mario ends up going to a world where he meets Princess Daisy because her kingdom is more like the technical one and not the mushroom one. So the way that the timeline in this theory pans out is that Mario doesn't save Peach because she obviously keeps getting kidnapped by, you know, Bowser. And he tries to save her. Does kind of save her, but she's not feeling him. She rejects him because she's digging on Luigi. They make that timeline with Rosalina, where she becomes, you know, galaxy queen and whatever. And Mario goes and finds another pipe and ends up in the kingdom with all the technology and stuff and meets Daisy and then gets with Daisy. So there's a lot of things that are wide open about that. And there's plenty more to be discussed about it, but there is a theory about that, so you could always go and check that out. But, I mean, there's clearly a distinction between Jumpman and the Mario that we have come to play and know. And there's no way that could be the same guy, because he'd be clearly way too old to even... I think he'd be way too old when he was pursuing Peach. Because he was already kind of like a middle-aged man when he was going after Pauline. So, like, that doesn't make any sense. You know, and then when you go through the Kong games, the Donkey Kong games, you know, you find out about, you know, Donkey Kong's granddad, the Cranky Kong, and then Diddy. And it just doesn't pan out time-wise line. It just doesn't add. So, I'm really curious about what they're going to do with this. Because, I mean, now you've got Mario in kind of this city. I mean, granted, he'll go to different worlds and stuff, so that's fine. But... You know, Mario might not even be human. Like, he may be something completely different, and they may blow all this stuff to the water. But, I mean, the fact that he's had this hat now that has this power, like, clearly, I can't see him fully being human. He's had all these powers that he just thought were natural because he hadn't encountered anyone else besides his brother, who had some similar power, but not nearly as much as Mario did. But I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Odyssey. At first, I wasn't going to touch it, but now I'm kind of about it. But, yeah. There's a lot going on there. A lot to unbox, which is interesting.
No, duh.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm kind of about Rosalina being the kid of Luigi and Peach, because I never thought it was fair that Mario got all the girls, Pauline, Peach, and Daisy. No. No. One guy that short doesn't have that much swagger. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. I'm like, I don't. And I mean, Luigi's patient and he knows how to clean and exercise ghosts and, like, you know, gets the job done. Like, he seems a little bit more dependable and not nearly as, you know, psychotic, in my opinion. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I can't remember who it was, but I remember somebody else talking about the theory, and they also came to the same conclusion that Luigi's Rosalina's dad, not Mario.
I mean, apparently, if you play Galaxy 2, because I think at first you have to play the whole game as Mario, and then if you play the whole game that way, then it allows you to play as Luigi, and there's several dialogue trees that completely allude to it, because you'd think that, you know, Rosalina would be like, hey, by the way, you're my dad, because, you know, I know everything, because I'm like this cosmic princess and whatever.
But I think there's a dialogue tree that kind of hints at that when you play as Luigi, and I think that's what they alluded to.
She alludes to, you know, yes. Well, she definitely strongly implies that Peach was her mom, but she never really says, at least in the Mario chain, doesn't allude to who her dad is. And, you know, and you'd think that she kind of would if she happened to, you know, meet her dad all of a sudden after all this time. Because, she only visits that galaxy every, I think, 1,000 years or whatever. And this just happened to be the year that, she, you know, something went down and she happened to be there. So I would like for them to give Luigi something, because I feel like as a character...
I think they did. I think that that's his kid.
And then I'd like to see them do something more with Wario and Waluigi. Like, you know, I understand that.
Actually, I'm okay if they don't.
I think it's about time.
I don't like the walls.
Wario has kind of always been a dick, and we know he's the inverse of Mario, so, like, I get that, like, I do. But I mean, Waluigi was really just kind of created to fill this void, you know, with the fact that Mario had an opposite, so Luigi should have had an opposite. But they've really given him nothing else to go off of. You know, and I feel like, you know, that's kind of empty and a little shallow. And I mean, there's got to be something, there's got to be more to it than that. So I would like to see them branch out and give them a little bit more backstory and character. Mm-hmm. A stronger motivation than just to thwart Mario and Luigi would also be nice. I mean, I think we are in the stage right now where we want to understand why the bad guy is doing X, Y, or Z. Like, you can't just be this eminent big bad anymore. Like, I need to know that you were hurt as a kid. That justifies your negative behavior. Because then I'm like, okay, yeah, he killed like 20 people, but his mommy did stuff to him, and it messed up his mind, and morality was really a fluid thing for him. So I see why he thinks the way that he does. It's still wrong, but okay, I can see the logic, the synapses that have made your logic warped. We still have to stop you, and I will feel accomplished when I do it, but I will not just be like, oh yes, he is. I don't like labeling, oh yeah, this bad guy is evil, he's bad, because there's more to it than that. Because we all have the ability to misbehave and choose poorly and to act in our own truth and believing that that is enough to be seen as right or righteous or just. So, I mean, I think it just needs to happen. At least for me, it needs to happen for me. It may not need to happen for you, but I want to fully understand why the bad guy is bad before I go, okay, well now I'm going to go and complete this out and I'm going to, you know, be the hero. Like going back to Zelda, granted that's the last game I fucking played, really. But going back to the whole Zelda Breath of the Wild, like, you know, Zelda and Link and Ganon have been in this constant, you know, battle for millennia. You know, and these different Ganons all, like, they've never really given you the truish origin as to why he's bad. He's just bad. He has the Triforce of Power. He wants to corrupt. It's evil. But why? Like, why? What? Like, what happened in his development that he was like, you know what? I seek power for change. What did he want to change? And then when did the corruption of that righteousness happen? I would like that for me, because I'd be like, oh, all right, I see that. But your thinking is not necessarily right. But I understand better now. But I have to stop. Like, I would like that for me.
For me. No, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. That's something that you want.
Not everybody needs that, but I, right. I like it.
And, see, I feel like not everybody needs the Mario X Rabbit Kingdom, whatever.
No.
Okay. Like, I know who that's for. That is definitely for the kid market. And you need good games for the kid market on the Switch, for sure. It is not for me. Like, and I tried. And you know, I love platformers. I just could not be more meh about it. And I don't know if it's because I'm just meh on Mario in general. Like, I straight up think, like, I'm out of my Mario phase.
You might be. I mean, I could do more Yoshi. Give me some more Yoshi and some Kirby.
I would love some more Yoshi and Kirby games. I'm excited about the Metroid game.
I'd like another Luigi game.
I would like another Luigi game.
I think Luigi should stop exercising Ghost in Mansions. I think he has shown that he can do other things now. I think it's time for him to branch out. Maybe go into, like, venture capitalism.
I agree with you. I think that I'm just, like, super saturated with Mario. And that's why I'm not interested in the Rabbids game. And why I'm not interested in the new Mario game either. Like, it would have been nice to get one of the little beanie hats. Because they were, like, visors, but they had little eyeballs on the top. They were cute. But the line to play that game was ridiculous. And as I was watching people play, I wasn't excited about it. So, there's that. Next time when I talk on the podcast, because I'm going to shut up now and let you have your go, because I'm really bad about talking a lot, I'm going to be going balls deep. I mean, balls deep.
Like, ball pit deep. Like,
oh, yeah.
A McDonald's just opened up and their fun place has not been touched by any kids. And you just want to get all up in that ball pit because you know the next time you look at that ball pit, it's going to be filled with kid pee.
Yeah.
Maybe some poop nuggets.
So but you know for right now, it's pure.
It's the purest ball, so you're going head first.
Yeah. Like that deep into Destiny 2.
Okay. So may I?
You're up.
All right.
You're up.
So I had a game I wanted to talk about in anime, and I think because we've been talking more about games, I'm going to stay in that vein, I think. I'll keep my anime for next week, because then by that point I will have watched a little bit more of it, so I'll have a better understanding about what's happening in the series.
Word.
But last week Ninja told me that they did at the Bethesda conference presser that they announced Evil Within 2, which I think I lost my shit last episode when you told me that.
Yep. And I was like, I don't understand how you missed this.
I completely did, over my head, between my legs and up my nose, and never saw it again. So I took the liberty of watching the trailer that debuted at E3, went through like four or five different sites that all talked about it, and found some people who got some, you know, behind the scenes and got a little bit more information on it. But I really just kind of want to focus on the trailer and what I saw in that and what I think is going to happen in this game. So, I mean, and there's so much to unpack. Like, it kind of gave me a very familiar sense, kind of like Death Stranding, with a lot of its symbolism and stuff. And I mean, just off the trailer alone, and from a little bit of the research I did, like, I know that we're getting Detective Sebastian Castellanos again, which I'm kind of glad about, because I mean, I thought he was I thought he was a very empty, like not too memorable protagonist in the initial Evil Within. Because yeah, he's a cop. Yeah, he's letting his life go to shit because, you know, work is really important. I mean, it's a basic trope that we see happen in a lot of noir games, like tragic backstory, you know. Granted, I think in his, like, his wife kind of disappeared and daughter disappeared, or like daughter disappeared and then wife was like, I'm going to go find our kid, and if you don't want to come with me, whatever. And he was like, I have a job to do. So, like, he kind of abandoned, you know, the search and whatever, and he's got guilt about that, which is evident in the first Evil Within, because there's a lot of symbolism with the dissolving of his family and his guilt, like, kind of being, you know, this anchor to him in the game. Which, if you haven't played Evil Within 1, I strongly suggest you do it. If you don't have the stomach for that, then you could easily watch several people play Let's Plays of it so that you can at least see it and digest the story points as they are. Granted, I think moving into the second game, the only big focal point that they really want you to get from this is the fact that, you know, this is redemption for him. He's finally going to address that guilt of, you know, the shittiness of his marriage and the disappearance of his daughter, you know, and him trying to get closure in that. So from the trailer, like, you see, you know, it's all kind of all white with, like, these shapes forming around, and you see, like, a face here and a bit of a skull here, and, you know, all these random things forming around, you know, which at first I didn't realize was Castellanos, but then at the very end when I finally saw, like, the full form of his face, I was like, oh good, we're going back into, you know, him, which I think is great, because now they're actually going to develop that handicap and that Achilles heel that they hinted at a little bit, and you definitely saw it in the first game, but now we're really going to go into it. So you see at this stage in the trailer, like, you see Castellanos, you see that he's completely run down, like, you clearly see that loss has really affected him. I really think now that games are really trying to play on that whole, you know, family, that bond, because we're seeing a lot of games with, you know, father figures with kids, you know, and seeing all of that happen. So I think they were like, oh no, we totally have to address this daughter thing. Like, this will rack up some points, because, you know, you've got him kind of looking a little bit like Joel from Last of Us. So I mean, hey Naughty Doc, you guys clearly have found the exact brooding dad model that everybody wants to aspire to in their games. Because now they all kind of have that rugged, you know, not...
It's called Nolan North.
Like they just put him in, like, a beard and, like, a messed up kind of flannelly, like, shirt. And, like, universal rugged dad pants, kind of with, like, a utility belt. Like, the standard tropey, they've established it now. So everyone is trying to reach that level, I think, with their father figures in these games, you know. And I mean, actually, now that I think about it, Red Dead Redemption, you know, Marsden also kind of had that look too.
Yep.
That was before Naughty Dog, so maybe Rockstar was onto something, so maybe. But anyway, apparently, the events of the first game with, you know, Castellanos being hooked up to that STEM machine and then being tormented by that guy who made the STEM machine, whose name I can't... Revik or something like that, whose name I can't remember. Because Revik was trying to get into... the boy's body so that he could get out of his STEM system. Because that system really kind of played upon all of your neuroses and your mental blocks, and, like, pretty much created a demon world of all of your fears. So, like, think of the scariest things in your mind that terrify you, and then live in a world where that is everything in it. There is not a sliver of humanity or remorse. It is just constant terror cranked up to 11, and there's nothing you can do about it. But at the very end of Evil Within, Castellanos manages to escape and get out of the system and get downloaded back down into his brain. Same with the lady, but we find out that, you know, the lady that came in with them into the system was sent from the company who made the system. So she's kind of a plant, but, you know, isn't necessarily... Her intentions are not necessarily bad, but she does have a job to do, you know, and they are kind of blackmailing her to perform that job, Even if that does potentially kill Castellanos and his partner, who we don't fully know. Granted, you know, you never see him unplug. You clearly think that he is just kind of trapped in that limbo, in that program. I'm sorry, Joseph. I'm so sorry for you. My feels, bro. My feels. I'm surprised that Castellanos doesn't have any regret about that. But, I mean, they both kind of went into it. So, I mean, he's got enough on his plate as it is. But clearly, the effects of STEM are still something that he can access. Or he has to go back into it. Because he clearly gets pushed back into STEM. And in this, apparently, from it, it seems like he's got images and the guilt and stuff of his family is there. And it seems like someone is trying to give him the chance to, you know, gain back some closure on that. I don't know if his wife and his child have also been downloaded into this STEM and, like, they actually exist in this world and he's able to get them back out. They're kind of hinting at the fact that he's seeing elements of them in there. And I think for him, he's not sure if they're real or not. And someone has given him the inkling that they could, in fact, be real and can be saved. So here he goes white knighting back into this world of nightmares to find out whether or not that's true or not. Because, I mean, at the end of Evil Within 2, we know that Revivik got out in that guy's body. He does, in fact, manage to get out of STEM. So we know that he's still at large. And clearly, this mastermind has the ability to, you know, make nightmare lands for everybody. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this was just, you know, maybe we might see the resurgence of this bad guy who's now trying to get, you know, maybe trying to download himself into Castellanos' body for whatever the reason may be or not. We don't know. But I'm really curious about how more terrifying they can already make a world that is completely built upon your fears even scarier. Because, I mean, Evil Within 1 definitely, I thought, raised the...
Is a big pile of nope.
Yep. For some people. But, I mean, like, I liked the whole psychological thing because here are these fears that, like, you know, you clearly know your protagonist character has. And then to see how this team has found a way to reintroduce these elements of his fear and his resentment and his guilt and his... and this terror, and reinvent it in a way so that it's new every time he encounters them in the world, and new for us, the player, who has to navigate him through those. So, you know, they really have heightened the sense of awareness and shock in the first game. And I didn't play any of the DLC. I know another guy on our team, Hamsterman, did. So he got more of a fleshed out story of all the things involved in that. But, I mean, it was very, like, very reminiscent of, you know, like, Resident Evil back in the day. And, I mean, even more so, Silent Hill. So, I mean, maybe Evil Within, maybe Bethesda was like, since we're not getting the Silent Hills that we were kind of promised, and they've been very tight-lipped about Death Stranding, and we don't... And I think their visuals in terms of horror are completely different. Like, the visual escapes that they are both trying to convey in their games are very different. But I think they're both strong positives into a more better defined sense of horror, where now it's really not just the bad on the outside, but it's really the more internal terror on the inside that is probably far more detrimental to us than anything that could happen to us, you know, here. Like, it's too... Like, I would love to see, and after this I'll drop this, because there's so many different things that could happen here. You know, like I just said, the scariest thing is to be completely locked in your mind. Like, with no avenue to escape that. You know, so I mean, like, yeah, Castellanos is plugged into this machine, but, like, what if this is the only way he can exist? Because, like, something's happened to his body now, and, like, he can't... Like, him unplugging would be, like, death to him. And he's not aware of that yet. But, like, this is the only way he met... Like, maybe he didn't even get out of the first game and he's still plugged in. And it's now... The system is just making itself as close to life for him as possible. Yet he still has to, like, deal with all of this psychosomatic bullshit. Like, That, I think, is far more terrifying to me, knowing that I have to exist in this plane with no escape from myself. Like, I am my big bad. My terror is my big bad. And there's no way out of it.
I mean, that's deep. I think...
Like, they could totally play with that a little bit. And, I mean, I have a sneaking suspicion they won't. But, like, that would be fairly interesting, I think. And, you know, and I know that I think at the very end of the first game, you realize that there was whoever was plugged into that machine, it was all of their combined terrors together. So who's to say he's, you know, if this is the theory I want to stick with, who's to say that he's the only one? Could easily not be. You know, and then what? Like, it's pretty heady when you kind of think about all the layers that they could impose. And I mean, like, I wish I were talented enough to be on a concept team to build this type of stuff up. Cause like,
well, dude, all you gotta do is like write them in, fucking write it for the site, like make it happen. One thing I'm gonna interject you with, because we gotta wrap up here pretty quickly, is there's another game that you should look at that was announced at E3, and it scared the boogie out of me, and it was just a very simple trailer. It's called The Inpatient.
The Inpatient, okay.
And so you should look at that, and we should talk about that next week on the show.
Okay.
Because I think, you know, with what you talked about, the big bad, I take a look at the game.
Okay.
Take a look at the game.
All right,
that's it for this week's show, guys. Hope that you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure that you subscribe to our podcast. You can get it in iTunes, either on the desktop or on your iOS device through the podcast application by searching for Eshcast and subscribing. You can also get our podcast directly through our site and grab the feed. It's right there on the homepage. You can also get it through Stitcher Radio, Google Play, VogNetwork.com. I mean, any podcast aggregator that's out there on the planet, you'll be able to find the Eshcast and subscribe. So please do leave us a review. If there's something you want us to check out and you want us to talk about on the show, make sure that you hit us up. You can grab us on Twitter at ESH News. You can hit us up on Instagram, also at ESH News, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Land of Esh. It's real easy to get a hold of us and be like, hey, these are things that you should check out and you should review because I'd really like your opinions on them. And if we do, we'll give you a shout out during the podcast that we followed up on your idea. So, again, the website, electricsisterhood.com, all of our social, subscribe to our podcast. If you like what we do, then definitely check out all the other great shows and websites that fly under our family banner that starts with B3Crew.com and the homie King Baby Duck and a bunch of folks that are helping him cover everything indie. If it's music, theater, manga, anime, entertainment of any kind, KBD and team are talking about it over at B3Crew.com, and he's got a weekly podcast, No Borders, No Race, where he spins a bunch of independent music that you probably have never heard of before, but really should. So make sure that you check out the podcast and the site. Wednesdays, our homie Hamsterman2049 is streaming live on Twitch. Starts at 9 Eastern. You can catch the link real quick on our Facebook page. Every Wednesday, like I said, 9 Eastern, and he streams new and old games. I mean, everything from early PlayStation games to current console games now, with a little bit of PC thrown in there, too. So make sure that you check him out. Jump in chat. Join him live. Comment. It's an absolutely fun evening watching somebody else play some of maybe your favorite games that you haven't been able to play in a while. Our homie, I love this guy so much, Phil the Issues Guy, with some of the most fun TV show recaps that I have ever watched on YouTube. Make sure that you check out his page and subscribe on YouTube. Call in, be part of the chat live with his recaps. I mean, it's just a fun time. If you like recaps, then you need to check out Phil's recap and review. And you can see his whole archive on his site, issuesprogram.com. Last, certainly not least, the dudes, the homies, over at nerdcrave.com, giving you the stuff that nerds crave. So make sure that you check them out. Comics, anime, manga, video games, movies. If it's nerdy, they are definitely reviewing it and have some real strong opinions about it over at nerdcrave.com. So bookmark all of our sites, check out all of our feeds, share us with your friends, leave reviews, comments, all that good stuff. Because we appreciate it. We appreciate you. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next week, guys.
Stay classy.
Titties.